It's time for the FC Dallas postgame show on the FC Dallas Radio Network.
A win. We have seen another win at Toyota Stadium as FC Dallas wins the Texas Derby 2-0 over the Houston Dynamo. Only their second win on the season. They break a winless streak that has been in effect since the beginning of March. Hello, everyone. It is the FC Dallas postgame show brought to you tonight by your local Toyota dealer, Toyota. Let's go places. Also brought to you by UMB Bank. See how UMB can help you achieve your business goals. I am your host, Sam Hale. We'll be joined in a few minutes by Ryan Figgert, Steve Davis, and Mark Dodd, the voices of tonight's victory over the Houston Dynamo. But first, let's go to our postgame highlights, and I mean highlights plural because we have more than one goal. So it was 0-0 after the first 45, though Dallas was piling on the pressure thanks to a fifth-minute red card by Griffin Dorsey after he pulled down Marco Farfan, getting his first start of the year. So that led us to the second half. And then it was the 55th minute when the moose was loose.
Mungo trying to combine here with Chumasi. It does break nicely for Ima Chumasi into the path of Musa on the turn. Musa chipped towards the back post. And it's a Derby Day goal for Petr Musa. Just what the doctor ordered for Dallas. A fortunate break at the top of the box. Chumasi, of all people, will pick up the assist for Petr Musa's third MLS goal.
Musa's third of the season, his second straight game with a goal, made it 1-0 for Dallas in the 55th minute. The pressure kept piling on, but it wouldn't be until the 80th minute when, of all people, Sebastian Ibiaga popped up with a goal.
The Otamendi gets it from the short corner, now centrally, 25 yards from goal, finds Kamungo inside the box, dropped off for Junka, off his left foot, towards the back post, it's Ibiaga, it's two! And it's the Houston native who strikes against the Dynamo.
Sebastian Ibiaga, his first of the campaign, the last one that slammed the door for Dallas as they pick up all 3 points and the inside track on El Capitan, and let's not forget some big points for Copa Tejas as well. A big win in just about every way for FC Dallas tonight. They beat Houston 2-0. Let's get to tonight's postgame stats, which are brought to you by UMB Bank. Dallas wins the possession battle 52-48. 24 shots for FCD tonight, 6 of those on target. 2 shots for Houston, none on goal. You also had 9 corners for Dallas, just 1 for Houston. Each team was offside once. If you like the XG stat, a whopping 2.7 for Dallas tonight. They underachieved just a little bit, but it's hard to complain about that when you win 2-0. To just 0.1 for the 10-man Houston, a domination in just about every way. 4 saves for Steve Clark, none for Martin Paz. Probably had the easiest night of his career as he picks up another clean sheet, his third in the last 4. Dallas fouled 20 times. Houston committed 10 fouls. 3 yellow cards for Dallas, 2 for Houston. Yet just 1 red card. That was the Griffin Dorsey one that really turned the tide of this match in the 5th minute. As we bring in our commentary team for this one, it's Ryan Figgert, it's Steve Davis, and Mark Dodd. And lads, it's just fun to talk about a win off this one. It's been a very long trip for Dallas to get to win number 2, but they got there tonight. And I hesitate to use must win in this circumstance. I know Mark Dodd said a little bit earlier, at the very least, it's a very nice win.
It is, and it feels great. The vibes are back, at least for the moment, Toyota Stadium, as they're sitting around waiting for the drone show to cap off the night. It was a fun one. You got Musa on the score sheet, which for the second straight game, that builds his confidence. He continues to find his feet since arriving here in Frisco. And Ibiaga with the exclamation point. Any win against Houston's a big win, but especially in the way that Dallas really needed 3 points.
Well, you know, the thing is, guys, teams that don't win at home don't make the playoffs. And they desperately needed it. You know, you go back to last year. Now you're talking about 5 draws to end last season at home in the regular season. So what out of the last 9 regular season home games coming into this one, 9 out of a possible 27 points. That means you've dropped 16 of 27 points. They had to find a way to get the 3 points at home tonight. And you know, we're going to talk about the different ways that that happened, but most important tonight was anything, whatever they did, they had to get the home win. And as Nico Estevez said during the week, you get a home win, you can start building confidence from there. But you've got to have that foundation, and that's what they started developing tonight.
So, obviously, this match really turned on that red card from Griffin Dorsey. I mean, that was – something the Dallas needed. And I could already hear the more cynical side of the fan base saying, well, Dallas wouldn't have succeeded tonight if they didn't they weren't down a man. I would contend, and maybe I'm wrong, it doesn't matter. You had to win. You know, you needed a good performance and a win. You had two goals, 24 shots. You beat a rival at home. You know, I understand that there's kind of a cynicism that exists in the fan base, but tonight you've just got to be happy with the win.
Yeah, you're exactly right. It doesn't matter. I did say early on in the game, this was a must-win game. I mean, it really was critical that Dallas didn't get a tie, but they got the points. And it was, look, this season has kind of felt like Nico has had to been this nutty laboratory professor, you know, constantly pouring beakers full of solution to find the right kind of chemistry here. And I'd hope to have some real clarity after this game as to if this combination is the one that worked. And it does look promising, but it is hard to say given that Houston had to play down literally the entire game. So, again, good things to build on. Dallas needed that shot of confidence that was kind of a gift from the red card. But, again, all that matters is they got the win. Now we can move forward with this combination.
You know, guys, you play the game that you're in. And yes, you're right. The cynic might say that, and I can understand it. But you play the game you're in, and you know the game that they were in. They had a man up for 85 minutes. So what you would say is, if they had scored, you know, a Dante Sealy late goal as we saw in the opener, you know, and won, it'd be a very different conversation. But you know what you want to see from there at home is complete domination. Well, 24-2 on shots, 6-0 on shots on target. Martin Paz never having to break a sweat. That's domination. Yes, it would have been nice if they would have got the insurance goal before 80 minutes. You know, you can feel the tension growing a little bit in the crowd. But at the end, it was a pretty dominant performance.
And Mark, to go back to your point about finding the chemistry, finding the formation, finding the solutions. In Major League Soccer, even more so than in any other league, in my opinion, you've got to have your top-end talent on the field. You can try and find solutions all day long. Houston, to their credit, have done a great job at that this season. They've found points, especially on the road, when it's been difficult and when they've been without players. Dallas hasn't been able to do that, but tonight they get back Marco Farfán in the starting 11. Fantastic 45 minutes from him. Really encouraging performance to see him back, and looked like he really hadn't missed a beat.
Yeah,
Ferreira comes back in the second half as well. He made an impact, wasn't as sharp as maybe we've seen him at his best, but again, getting that top-end talent back makes everything easier. It papers over all the cracks that there may be.
Absolutely, and you know, the one guy that you just would just give your eye teeth to have back out on the field now that Jesus is back is Alan Velasco. You know, you'd love to see that combination of Velasco, Jesus Ferreira, and Musa up front. But look, that is what it is. We saw some great spark from Bernie Camongo coming in. We'd love to see that. And Sabaleng, again, brought some interesting stuff, too. So as Steve said, he's a real spark. I think that there's some solutions here. And I just, you know, it was a very promising day, the kind of confidence that Dallas needed.
Yeah, let's talk about the change specifically at left wing back, because Marco Farfán comes in, his first appearance from injury. He gives Dallas strong 45 minutes of play, including drawing the red card, which probably by itself would have been enough of a contribution, but he showed some of the qualities Nico wants. He comes out, and they bring in Bernie Camongo, who also brings the spark. I mean, we talked about lineup changes last week were necessary. This week, it looks like those changes paid off in the victory.
Absolutely. You have to say that. And Nico Estevez, look, he's under pressure. He knew that he needed to make some changes. Last week, he said it wasn't good enough initially. The subs brought some energy to the game, so we knew there would be a tactical change or a personnel change. He changed four players out of the lineup. That's quite a few. Now, one of them is sort of injury-related, legit. But changing out four, that is significant. That's almost half your field players. So who worked and who didn't? You know, I think the wingback play in very different ways was really good. He changed out both wingbacks, brought in Farfán on one side, him on the other side. Marco Farfán absolutely did, you know, what they needed from that position, which was be more aggressive, go forward. As you said a while ago, what Juan did in the first game for Montreal, so that one paid off. I know Ima, we wanted to see him do more with the ball, but his contribution was immense in taking away the one thing that Houston had the first half, which was Ilyu up the left side on the break. His speed just neutralized it, so you'd have to say both of those. Arriola moving inside, Patrickson on the inside, maybe they weren't quite as comfortable in there playing off Musa, so that one's still a work in progress. But the other one, the big change, I think Atanikosi was very good. I thought he was aggressive in coming off the line, and that's exactly coming off the back line. And that's exactly what Nicolas Tevez said he needed to see. He saw it last week, he said. I saw that fight, that intensity, that aggressiveness, and chasing down balls, and that's what he got from Coach tonight. So I think the changes absolutely worked out well.
Yeah, and I think the encouraging thing is if you think a little bit more big picture, and Nicolas Tevez hasn't really had that luxury with the pressure he's under and with the injuries he's faced, that back five is a lot closer to most likely your starting back five. Patrickson underneath, Paul underneath. You know, Paul maybe more so is a starting potential player, but Patrickson, that's not a long-term solution. That was adjusting to what Houston was going to try and do tonight. Obviously, Jesus Ferreira is going to come back into the 11. Bernard Camungo is now knocking at the door. Eugene Anza's had minutes there as well. So I think the back five finally together, as we had hoped to see it from the start of the season, you know, with Farfan coming back from injury and Ima playing at, you know, a really high level compared to what we've seen early in the season, that's a really encouraging sign. And now three clean sheets out of four.
And the other thing, you know, besides the obvious advantage of playing a man up for the entire game, what that does is it gave Dallas players time. It gave them space to sort of, we talked about, find their swagger, find their confidence, give them a little extra time to build that confidence. And I think that was really critical at this juncture to do that. Now they can go into next week feeling a little more confident, feeling a little more positive about their individual performance and taking the monkey off their back, getting the win.
Absolutely. You're almost rebuilding those pathways, those ways of attacking, those ways of thinking about how to attack that have been lacking for Dallas. They spent so much time behind the ball and even then had conceded bad goals, and it just, they were in a bad way in both defensive and offensive. They rode the ship defensively, now three clean sheets out of four, as I mentioned. And tonight gave them that opportunity to start to build back those ways forward, ways to attack, ways to create chances for Petr Musa, who's now got three goals and two and two.
And we're going to talk about Musa in just a minute, but I think it's worth mentioning we talked a lot about Ima Tumasi coming into the game and at halftime. In fact, you know, Mark, Garrett, and I even discussed, do you need to make a change based off what we saw in the first half? And full credit to a guy like Ima, he stuck in it, and he was a big part of the second half turnaround, was he not?
I think he was absolutely critical, because what he brings is, you know, okay, yes, you know, was his offensive threat in the first half, you know, ideal? No. But he has such blistering speed, he is so valuable at the back, that I think it was wise for Nico to keep him back there for that safety, that insurance, which bought Dallas time to come back and get the breakthrough goal.
I also feel like, you said this a while ago, Ryan, I think you pegged it, Ima Tumasi, I think he really gained a lot of confidence off that one sequence where he gets an assist. And, you know, he looked like a different player after that. Then he was a little bit more confident. And it was a really nice assist. I mentioned it during the run of play that as soon as he found the ball in that pocket, he did something that I just haven't seen Dallas players do enough, which was seize the moment. I understand that I've got a ball in a good spot. Turn and go forward. And he went forward and helped create a goal.
He's a player with attacking instincts. He grew up as a winger, as a striker even, you know, and played winger at Wake Forest in his collegiate career. He's been converted to a fullback, and he's lost some of that attacking swagger that Mark Staud is talking about. But he can find it. It's in there somewhere. That's, you know, that's the comfort level that he can have in the attack. He's got to build the confidence back, and hopefully that's a step towards doing that.
And the big story here, you know, among many stories, another goal for Petr Musa, his third of the season. Two straight games with a goal, and his ends up being the winning goal since Dallas did not concede another goal from Houston. And we talked a little bit about, was it silly to say in the groove, you know, could that be a thing? Well, two games, two goals, it's looking a little bit like a thing, is it not?
I think we're developing a pretty good picture of what Petr Musa is as a player. And, it, you know, I see a guy who can do a lot of good stuff with the ball for a big guy, a physical guy. You know, he's got good feet. He's got good tactical ideas, I think. What we need to see is just a little bit more movement inside the penalty area, just a little bit more fox in the box kind of stuff. But on that goal, that's exactly what it was, because, you know, a nice touch to set it up, and then he sees Steve Clark coming out. So it's a nice little striker's finish into the back post, sort of a little clipped-in ball, a little chip ball, that is. So, you know, he's got everything he needs. I do want to see just a little bit more urgency in certain moments, because we also talked about a couple of times when he had the ball, and he just was inside the 18, and he was just a little too casual, I thought, you know, in those opportunities.
Yeah, and he has such a great first touch that, you know, he needs to make those runs and get the services. I think we talked about having that proximity, having guys closer in. Today we saw it a little bit with Jesus. We saw Bernie get in touch. And you know, look, he can play the give and go. He's so good with that quick first touch that I think that we forget, you know, oh, he's a big guy, he's an aerial player. But no, he's really good and tight. And so I think Dallas is all the more effective when they can put numbers in close to him.
And I think we saw, you know, particularly in some of the recent games when Dallas was shut out, the frustration was evident with him, the body language, and not necessarily in a negative way, but trying to get more out of his teammates. And there hadn't been a lot of connection between he and his teammates, and you know, the lineup had been chopping and changing. He hadn't really built chemistry with anyone. So I think that will come with time. I think understanding the movement, when to make the movements. He has all the striker's instincts that you could ask for, and that's why Dallas brought him in for the money that they paid. And I think it'll come with time. And you know, Jesus Ferreira, he came into this game, he picked out a couple great passes, and even though he wasn't fully on the pace of the game just yet, and he hasn't really been at all this season as he's been in and out with injuries, there's no doubt in my mind that those two can work together. Their qualities complement each other so well, it's just a matter of time before they can gel.
Well, and I think that's a great point. I think as you look for, clearly we see the big, big, big value in this game. You know, they got to win, you know, and everybody can feel a little better about things. That's the big value. But the hidden value here is getting Jesus Ferreira on the field, and he was able to get some of that rustiness out in a match that they won. So I think there's tremendous value just in getting him back on the field, getting him in a groove, getting him a little bit more confident. And some of those bad touches, who cares now? Because, you know, he took them, and we still saw some of the quality moments too. So I thought there was great value in getting him on the field tonight.
Well, before we keep going, let's head down to Garrett Meltzer. He has got our post-game interview with Marco Farfan.
Thanks, Kevin. I'm here with Marco Farfan. Marco, considering it's the Texas Derby, considering it's the run the team had been on, how good does this win feel?
It feels amazing, especially playing here in front of everybody, in front of our family, in front of our fans. It feels good, especially because we knew we needed this win.
Considering how unlucky you've been on the injury front at the beginning of this year, how much did it mean to you to get back out there and make your season debut in front of the home fans?
Oh, yeah. It's, you know, I tell myself a lot of time I just needed to get back out there. Obviously played 45 minutes, the most I've played since I got hurt with my back. Then unlucky with the concussion. So, you know, it felt great being able to get back out there with the guys and get some minutes under my legs. And, you know, we just keep going from here.
You drew the red card for Houston. You made a great run to get in behind and get the ball. What did you see on that play?
Yeah, you know, I could be selfish and say I wanted to score, but I feel like the red card worked out better for us to be able to dominate the rest of the game. You know, I told Liam, I told the guys in the back that, you know, whenever they want to play long, I'm one of those guys that's always going to be working. I'm one of those guys that's always going to be running in behind. I don't think the right back saw me. I saw it was a loose ball. Maybe I was going to be able to get to the ball, maybe not. Made the run for it and made the effort to try and make something out of it.
And you did. Thank you so much for your time, Mark. I really appreciate it. Congratulations.
Thank you.
What was he still out of breath? He sounded like he was still out of breath. He got off the field an hour ago. Come on, Marco.
Oh, he was excited.
He was excited. Some jumping around, dancing. I don't know. I'm not going to speculate.
Hey, a couple of things there. I don't think maybe we gave quite enough credit. Terrific ball. First time early ball from Liam Fraser to put Marco into that position. And then, Marco, two things. The urgency. We talked about it. We've talked about it. We heard Nico talk about it this week. Urgency to go score, make something happen. Don't be casual about your opportunities to go forward. Well, as soon as he saw that ball pop out, he started making the run. Liam Fraser, a great ball to find him. And then the thing that he did, that Marco did, he's a really clever player. What he did was he understood he was about to lose the race to Griffin Dorsey, so he cuts right in front of him. Dorsey's got to make a choice. Instantly, real time, got to make a choice. You slow down a little bit, and you let him, and you take your chances on him getting in on goal, or you just keep pursuing, and chances are that maybe you get your feet tangled up a little bit. That's exactly what happened. He didn't trip him intentionally, but he did prevent the goal-scoring opportunity. It was an easy decision on the red card from referee Lucas Spala, who had the card out of his pocket, you know, about the time Marco Farfan hit the ground. So it was just a really heads-up play there for Marco Farfan. And just talk about, you know, getting your chance in the starting lineup and making an impact.
So before we move forward here, I asked our own Garrett Meltzer, who was the interjector in that interview? And if you need to make it any better, it was a shirtless Pedro Musa wearing a cowboy hat. So that is where the vibes are. And that's kind of where I want to take this before we look ahead a little bit. And, Mark, I want to start here with you. This is a team that had been wandering, looking for a win. They get it tonight like this. What can that do for a team that has been struggling just to get that win in this fashion, you know, in this venue and in this rivalry?
Well, for one thing, the pressure cooker that's been building up, you know, every game, when is it going to happen? The players feel the pressure. The coaches feel the pressure, you know, and this has been going on a long time. That's now, you know, that's just now gone. So that's great. It's a reset button. The other good takeaway here is, look, yeah, they played a man down, but Dallas got a shutout, and they looked clean. And Martin Paz might not have to wash his uniform before the next game because he didn't have much to do. And so, you know, that's a good takeaway for the defense. It's a good confidence builder. Everything went right. You know, the soccer gods were there with the red card, but it's exactly what Dallas needed to go forward.
It is, and as we kind of look ahead, not specifically towards next week, but as we look in the just the general vicinity, Nico Estévez made four lineup changes. Of those changes, and Steve, I'll throw this at you first, what are the things you're keeping? What are the things you're tweaking here as you look ahead?
No, it's a real good question. You know, at some point, you got to look at Jesus Ferreira, and he'll start again at some point. And it's an easy switch there because Patrickson, I don't think, felt really comfortable as that underneath. So you put Jesus Ferreira right back in there, and maybe it's maybe Nico wants to be a little more cautious about that and not do it right away. Maybe he wants to bring Jesus in for 45 minutes. Or maybe you go ahead and start him and tell him, you're playing for 45 minutes, son, and that's it. And you know, so maybe that's one you look at a little bit. And you do have to talk about Emma Tumasi on the right side because I think he did some great things on defense. I don't know how much he did on attack, but you know, so maybe that's a case where you look at: are you on the road? Are you at home? And you know, maybe you use Emma when you're on the road and defend a little bit more, and use somebody else, use a Bernie or somebody else on the attack. You know, Jesus Ferreira could come in for Paul Arriola. Arriola can go out there. So I think you keep some combination of what we saw tonight, maybe not quite all of it.
I think it's fair, you know, and obviously some of this will rely on fitness of the guys, but I think if available, Marco Farfan probably has earned himself another start. I think Jesus Ferreira, if he's ready, I would not blame at all. You know, another option there is if Sebastian Legette is ready next week, there's another built-in combo where you can play maybe 45 of Legette, 45 of Ferreira. But what's nice about this conversation, Ryan, is it feels like there's options for the first time with the yard healthy, with Marco and Jesus healthy, that has created a little bit of depth that they didn't really have early in the season.
And wherever you're listening, please knock on wood, please cross your fingers, and just, you know, maybe say a prayer that the injury bug stays away. Because you're right, you know, there is optimism that comes with winning, and there's also optimism that comes with getting your best players back and into the lineup. And there's a path forward, and there's depth, and there's all these things. As long as we can stay healthy, fingers crossed that continues. And I'm not going to elaborate any further because I just don't want to jinx it.
Well, and you know, that's kind of the thing here. This is always the good feeling. I know Mark Falwell used to say, when you win, you feel like you'll never lose again. And when you lose, you'll feel like you never win again. And that might be kind of a weird challenge for Dallas, or maybe it won't be, Mark. I'm kind of curious about, hey, we've won here, but we can't get too high because there's another game next week. Like, we've got to put this all in perspective.
Yeah, but you've got to take away, you know, when you lose a match, no matter how many in a row, you want to forget about it very quickly. That's your goal as a player. When you win, you want to remember it. You want to remember the confidence. You want to remember the feeling of hitting the back of the net. You want to remember the feeling of that clean sheet at the back. So they need to take this with them. But, you know, again, look, they're on to another team. As Steve touched on, now it's time, you know, when you look at these lineups, you've got to look strategically at what you're going to do. Do you need Tomasi's speed against certain teams that maybe are a give-and-go team that don't have a lot of, you know, long-distance threat? Or, you know, is it somebody that's got blistering speed and you need him back there? So you're going to have to be, you know, strategic, but I do think that there were some real bright spots and a little bit of clarity that was given, especially with the extra man down for us.
And consider last week on the postgame show, we're talking about, man, what are they going to do? Because they've lost again. Now we're sitting here a week later like, hey, what are they going to do? Like, it's amazing what a win can do. It's the greatest tonic in all of sports. But as we kind of bring to a close here on this particular show, any final thoughts on FC Dallas 2, Houston Dynamo 0 from the group here?
Well, just this one, you know, one of the things that I sort of noted last week and sort of tracked the numbers a little bit this week, you know, FC Dallas, as far as if you just look at aggression, you know, they're very low in yellow cards this year, very low in tackles won. Hey, tonight, 21 fouls, that's a lot. 4 yellow cards, that's a lot. So I felt like, you know, we came into the night saying, you know, this is when they have to make a stand. They've got to just pour all their passion and energy into it. And the one thing you risk when you do that is maybe you get a little overzealous and you foul too much, you foul in bad places, you give up a free kick goal, you get a red card. But tonight, I felt like it was really controlled aggression. You know, again, 21 fouls is a lot, 4 yellow cards is a lot. So in the end, it paid off, though. And I will say this. Nico Estevez said something really interesting. He said that, you know, look, Houston's a physical team, but he said, we just played St. Louis, Colorado, and Seattle. He said, those are all physical teams. So we're in pretty good shape now as far as playing against physical teams, and I think we saw that tonight.
Absolutely. They were up for the fight. You had to be. It was an important game, both in terms of where you're at as a team and the meaning that this game has for the fans in particular with the Texas Derby. So it was an important one. They were up for the fight, and they brought the energy from the opening 5 minutes when they won the red card. That really changed the game.
And maybe the best thing, by the way, is that we got the game in before the weather.
Yeah, for sure. And you know, one of the takeaways that I had is that I had hoped to see in the second half that Dallas would sort of change and get a little more diversity in their attack, not just service from the outside, which we saw at the end of Colorado and at the beginning of this game. And they did just that. They started playing more from the inside with give and goes, and they diversified their attack, which I think gave them a lot better look and put Houston on the back foot.
They got their joy back in some way, and that's important.
Well, they'll look to continue that joy next week as they travel up to BMO Field for a game against Toronto FC. And Toronto wins tonight 2-1 against Orlando. They were on a 3-straight winning streak, although one of those is in the Canadian Championship, 5-0 against a team called Rovers FC. So I'm guessing that was not a heavy competition for the MLS side. But that game will kick at 6:30 next week. It's Hall of Fame weekend as well, including the leading inductee, Tim Howard. So a bunch of great festivities next week, including FC Dallas versus Toronto FC. That's a 6:30 kick from across the border. So we will start pregame at 6 o'clock here on the FC Dallas Radio Network. But that brings to a close tonight's FC Dallas postgame show. For our engineer, Barry Walters, for Ryan Figgert, for Steve Davis, and for Mark Dodd, I have been Sam Hale. If you're listening on Talk Radio 1190, we'll play our final spot set and then send you back to regular programming. This has been FC Dallas Soccer, presented by Toyota on the FC Dallas Radio Network.
The preceding broadcast has been a presentation of the FC Dallas Radio Network.